Hello, everyone. It's Karen Quinn, and I want to welcome you to today's Ace the Test call. I'm so happy that you joined us, and this is the first of a series of biweekly training calls that we're going to be doing with our members. In your confirmation for this call, we sent you a worksheet that says on top, it says Score System Step 1. You can print this out or pull it up on your screen so you can follow along with the information being delivered and then take some extra notes if you'd like to. With each of our ACE the Test calls, we are going to be taking you through one step of what we call the score system, which are the five steps that parents whose kids scored in the 97th to 99th percentiles took when their kids were tested. And after the training, we'll open up the phone lines for your questions. So if you can, try to focus your questions on step one of the score system. While I'm talking, if questions come up for you, just jot them down and then you can ask them at the end. On our next call, we'll do a deep dive into step two and so on with each call that we have together until we have covered every step in the system. And my promise to you is that if you use the score system with your own child, you will increase your child's chances of qualifying for the gifted program or private school you want him or her to go to. Now, last year in the New York City School District, we were able to track that children whose parents used Testing Mom were twice as likely to qualify for the city's gifted program as kids whose parents didn't use the program. And last year, we were already talking with our parents about using the tools of the score system, although we hadn't named it that yet. So this system really does work, and we want you to use it to increase your child's odds of qualifying for whatever program you want for him. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about this system. And you can see it. It's just at the top of the worksheet that we sent you. It's not something that we just made up. It's something that has emerged out of our Testing Mom parent community. Since 2010, over 400,000 parents have worked with the Testing Mom program in some way. You know, some parents just will do a few practice questions with their kids ahead of the tests. Others really dig in, and they not only work our program, but they go beyond it. And these are the parents whose kids qualified for the most competitive programs. Well, what are their secrets? What did they do that was different from the parents whose kids did not qualify? Well, I'll tell you what they did. They followed the score system. They didn't realize that this is what they were doing, but it is what they were doing. So after parents tell us that their child qualified for a gifted program, we very often will reach out to them and we'll say, how did you do it? What did you do? And to this date, I think we've probably communicated with at least 1,000 parents one-on-one, and they've all given us their own version of having taken the action steps that are going to be described in the score system. And with so many parents taking the same action that worked, we are convinced that these are the steps you should take to give your child the best chance to qualify for a gifted program or a private school. And the steps are essentially the same if your child is applying to a gifted program or a private school. So let me give you a quick overview of these five steps in the system. The first is the S. Start by learning what your child must know and do. And here is the step where you're going to need to do some research to get your arms around the process to apply to the gifted program or private school that you want for your child, and you're going to have to learn what the test is and what's on the test, what your child has to know to do well for the test. And we're going to do a deep dive into this particular step today. The second step is to challenge your child through practice. Now here, you're going to work with model questions and other tools so that your child is familiar with the type of question that they're going to see when they walk into the test. And they won't have to spend any energy during the test itself trying to figure out what they're being asked to do. Instead, they're going to be familiar enough with each type of question that they see when they're tested, and they'll know how to think through the question and answer it. And in this segment, we're also going to want to talk about how you can make your test preparation really fun and engaging for your child. Now, this is easier with younger children than older children, But no matter what, we always want to make the test prep experience positive for your child. The next step is overcome common test-taking mistakes. Now, when it comes to testing children, half of their score depends on them having the underlying skills they need to answer a question, and the other half depends on them having test-taking abilities. Now, young children make all kinds of mistakes because they don't know how to take a test. I mean, they're so young. Think about it. We've got four-year-olds who are only talking for a couple of years who are now taking these tests, and they really don't have any idea of what they're being asked to do. So here are some common mistakes, especially with young kids who are given picture answer choices. A lot of times they're going to choose the prettiest or the most colorful picture, or they'll choose a picture of something they really like as opposed to the picture that's the answer to the question. When they're given four or five answer possibilities, a lot of times they don't look at each one. They'll just look at one or two and then choose an answer. A lot of children feel like the test is a race, and they think the first one who finishes is the winner, so they go as fast as possible. That's a mistake. Many kids will say, I don't know, or they'll skip questions rather than guess when they aren't sure. So parents need to understand what these common mistakes are. They need to recognize when their children are making these mistakes, and then they need to teach their kids how to avoid them. The next step is reinforce underlying abilities. Now, I just told you that half the battle is making sure that your child has test-taking abilities. The other half is making sure they have the underlying skills that the questions are assessing. So you're going to need to take it upon yourself to understand the underlying abilities your child needs to have in order to answer the questions on a particular test. And I'll give you an example. A pre-K child needs to know how to count and do simple addition and subtraction when they take the OLSET test. Now, doing more practice questions isn't going to help your child do better on that test if he can't count or add or subtract. So when you're practicing and you see that your child isn't doing well on a particular set of questions, you need to ask yourself if he's lacking in the underlying abilities needed. And if so, then you want to work on those skills outside of test prep. And now the final step, which is emphasize listening, focus, and perseverance. Starting with listening, you know, on many tests, especially with young children, the questions are asked out loud and they can't be repeated. So children have to be able to listen, remember what's being asked, and then choose the right answer. So building a child's listening skills is key to doing well on these questions. When it comes to focus and attention, a lot of kids cannot attend to the test for 30 minutes to an hour, which is the length of many of these tests. I don't know if any of you on the phone tonight have a four-year-old little boy, but you know, boys especially have a hard time sitting still and listening and focusing. So how do you build that focus, attention, and test stamina in a young child? And on the perseverance side, many kids just want to give up, or they want to go do something else when the questions get hard for them. And we need to teach them how to stick with it, even when the questions become challenging. So working on listening, focus, and perseverance skills is fundamental to a child doing well when they're tested. And the good news is that these skills are not just important for test taking, they're important for school success as well. So if you work on them with your child, you will be helping them, you know, well beyond the test itself. So let's start with the very first step in the score system, which we're going to cover tonight. And that is start by learning what your child must know and do. And I put this quote in there, which was a tip from a parent whose child did very well, and it just encompasses this very step. And this mom, Melissa from Chicago, said, investigate the tests and admission process in your area. The more you know, the more you can help your child. So let's talk about that. This first step is a research step. Here, you need to learn the basics. you need to get your arms around the process you're going to need to follow to apply, the important deadlines, and the tests that are required to qualify. When I talk about the process, it's, you know, what are the steps you need to go through, and deadlines are very, very important. Last year, I remember we had a mom who wanted her daughter to apply to Hunter College Elementary, which is a really good gifted program in New York City, and she just misread the website and misunderstood the deadline, and therefore her daughter didn't even get to apply because she missed the deadline. So check those deadlines, very important. And then you want to know what tests or other qualifiers are going to be required. And this varies by school district across the country. In some cities, there are just particular tests that are given. Others also have giftedness checklists, parent questionnaires, teacher recommendations. Some states require state test results. I mean, it just varies across the country. So you want to know what's required for the program in my area. And the best advice I can give you, the easiest way to get your arms around this is just Google the name of the school district and then add the words gifted and talented program. So, you know, New York City DOE gifted and talented program or gifted and talented testing. Or if you're in California, Los Angeles Unified School District GATE program. They call them GATE programs in California. Or if you're looking for a private school, what do I do to get into a private school? Just name of the private school and then add the words admission process, and everything will come up for you. The other thing you can do is check with a gifted coordinator for your school. Most schools have them. For private schools, just call the school admissions office, and you can ask them, what's the process to apply? And many cities have gifted and talented or GATE informational evenings where you can go and they will tell you all about the process and lay it out for you. So watch for these in your school district. And there's also private school open houses where they will go through the process with you. And what I did below, I just want to show you, is I Googled some different gifted programs in different districts across the country. And I did it just exactly the way I just described it. You know, New York City, DOE, Department of Education, gifted programs, and this is what I got. This is the URL, and then they gave me the two tests that are given in New York, which is the OLSET verbal test and the NNAT. So it's all laid out there. New York is wonderful in one way in that they are very transparent. They tell you everything. They give you the process. They tell you the name of the test. And they actually give you practice questions on their online handbook. You know, I looked at Houston, Houston Independent School District, and I Googled it, and I got all the information for the Houston Vanguard, Magnet, and Neighborhood programs. And there they laid out, you know, the tests are going to be the WNV and Woodcock-Johnson for pre-K, the COGAT and Iowa for kindergarten and beyond. And then I looked at Chicago. Now, Chicago is an interesting one because there are many cities that are like Chicago, many school districts that are like this. Chicago is a district that does not tell you the name of the test. If you Google it, you do get the whole process, and they tell you the skills that they assess and the type of test they're going to give, but they don't name it. You know, you may have that for your school district as well. And the way to handle that is, if for Chicago, we actually have a Chicago section on our website. So if you're from Chicago, you're just going to go right to the Chicago section. We've done enough research, and we have a good understanding of the kinds of questions they're going to be asking for the different Chicago tests, so we can give you a lot of practice, even though they don't tell us the exact name of the test. But for other cities, if you happen to be in a city that doesn't give you the name of the test, you know, do your research and find out what you can, and then you can always reach out to us at help@testingmom.com and say, I need more help. What do you think the test is in my district? And we actually know what the tests are in many districts that don't even tell you because we've had families taking these tests in the past, and we've sort of figured it out. So Where we have figured it out, we'll tell you. Where we haven't, we'll still guide you. So we can always guide you if they don't tell you what the test is going to be. And I don't want to take you through all the rest of them, but I was just trying to show you that, you know, if you Google it, you can find the names of the tests and you can find the process. The one at the bottom is Horace Mann School. That's a private school in New York City. And I just Googled it and I got the entire process. They take the ABLE test. That's the test they give there. So this is how you're going to do your first step. You're going to Google and see what you can find out because there's a lot of information online. Once you have sort of figured out what the test is going to be or what kind of test you need to work on to get your child ready, you're going to look for the test practice on testingmom.com. So you log in, and then the first time you log in, our system is going to guide you in choosing the tests that you're most interested in the skills that you want your child to work on. So if you know that there's going to be math on the test that your child will take, you'll choose the math skills. And what happens is, based on your choices, those will always come up on top when you log into our program. And that will just save you a little bit of time. You won't have to go searching for that. We do have special sections for New York City Gifted and Talented, New York City Private Schools, Chicago, Houston, Fairfax County, Virginia. If you're from one of those cities, just choose that and everything you need will come up for you. Otherwise, you'll choose the test, as I said, and that'll come up on top for you. And like I said before, if you happen to be in a market that doesn't give you the name of the test, you just do what research you can, and if you can find out if it's a cognitive test versus an achievement test, that's helpful to know because we can guide you to either cognitive types of questions or achievement test types of questions. But you can reach out to us, tell us what you do know, tell us what your child's age and grade is and what your school district is, and we'll help you figure it out. So this is going to help you get your arms around what your child needs to do for the test and to qualify in your district. Now, on the next thing you're going to need to do, once you've figured out what the tests are, you're going to go right to that testing page on Testing Mom. And by the way, I do want to say we recommend when you get on our website accessing our site through Google Chrome as opposed to Safari, just because it's easier to open the documents on Google Chrome. On Safari, it requires two steps. So I recommend using Google Chrome. It's easier to get to our test prep documents. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to where the test is, and you're going to go through each subtest that your child is going to be given. And you're going to look at them because you want to know what underlying concepts your child is going to have to know to answer the questions. And luckily, especially if you have a young child and you're looking at the questions, it's going to be very clear to you what your child is going to have to know and be able to do in order to handle these questions. Because the questions are quite easy for young children. So it'll be really clear to you when you look at them. But take a look at each subtest. And I'm going to give you some examples of what you're going to be looking for. So let's say, you know, your child is going to take the OLSAT test. We talked about this before. There's arithmetic reasoning on that test. And your child needs to be able to count, add, and subtract. And if you're going to look at the questions and you're going to see that and you're going to go, oh, gosh, does my child know how to add and subtract and count? We better make sure. You're also going to see questions that use words like, you know, twice as many, double, half, which ones are equal, which ones are the same, or a question that involves a dozen items. Does your child know those words? There are questions referring to rows and columns. Does your child know what a row is, what a column is? So when you look at these practice questions, you're going to see what your child needs to learn to do these questions. And they probably know already a lot of it. But, you know, by looking at it, you can see it. there's another type of question, following directions questions with OLSAT. They also have those on a test called the ITBS. And your child has to be able to listen and remember what's being asked of them. On the OLSAT, these following directions questions are all relativity questions. So they're going to hear words. They're going to be questions like, you know, point to the circle between two squares, on top of two squares, under two squares, next to two squares, or point to the ones that are different, point to the first one, point to the last one, all these relativity concepts. And you'll see that in the questions. And you need to ask yourself, well, does my child understand what those words mean? And if not, these are things you're going to want to work on outside of test prep. Let's say your child is taking a test. There's something called the COGAT, which a lot of young children take. And they have questions. They have little that look like a picture of an abacus. And the beads make up a pattern, you know, maybe two beads, four beads, two beads, four beads, and your child is expected to extend the pattern. Well, if you know that your child's going to have to do that on this test, you can play pattern games with Cheerios, you know, and make little patterns with your Cheerios. So that's what I'm talking about. Just by looking at the subtest, you look at and try to think about what does my child need to know and be able to do well on this particular test. The other thing to look at is the test going to be pencil to paper? Will it be on an iPad or a computer? Will my child have to point to an answer or bubble in an answer with a pencil? And whatever your child is going to have to do is something you're going to want to practice ahead of time. You know, you don't want your child taking a test on an iPad, and you don't want that to be his first experience on an iPad. You want to have practiced on an iPad. Or you want to make sure that when your child points, they stick with the answer they point to. They don't move around with their finger. Or you want to make sure your child knows how to fill in a bubble properly, and we have bubble lessons on the website. So we're going to go into more of this, these types of things when we do the R in the score system, which is reinforcing underlying abilities. But for now, I just want you to be sure that when you figure out the types of questions your child is going to have to answer, that you go in and get familiar with what does my child have to know to be able to answer this type of question. And then the next thing I want you to do is go to the Testing Mom website and take a look at all the different tools that you can use to prepare your child. Now, kids get bored if you do the same thing over and over again. So if all you had was a workbook to prepare your child, you know, and you just kept putting a workbook with practice questions in front of them, they'd get pretty bored and they wouldn't want to do it. So what we have is many, many different tools that you can, you know, go from one to another so that you just mix it up and your child ends up getting a lot more practice in by doing things that feel different from each other. So it doesn't feel like they're stuck doing the same thing over and over again. So what we have are, of course, the practice questions on the website, which you can print out, or you could just put them up on a computer and let your child point to the answers. Another thing, with many of our question sets, there's an assessment, and you can do that up front. You can print it out and do that up front and get a sense of how well your child will do on each type of question. Or if there's no assessment, all you have to do is just pull up the questions and do a few of the questions at your child's level. Let them do two or three and just see how they do. And that will give you a sense of how they're going to do when they're tested on that particular subtest. The other thing is once you get to one of our test sections, if you hit the middle tab, that's the game tab, and we have all kinds of specific interactive games that match some of the different tests. So you want to make sure your child uses those. They can do them on the computer or on the iPad. So there's something called Planet Pattern Tiles that goes with the WIPSI, or Pattern Blast that goes with the NNAT. There's a wonderful game we have called IQ Fun Tree that's just a fun way for a child to practice their skills and earn online toys. They love it. There's Space Baby Creator, which is a reward program that after they've worked hard, they can design their own Space Baby. So there's all kinds of fun things just right on the site for them to use. We also have IQ Fun Pack, which is a board game, and it's 25 games in one that prepares a very, you know, pre-K to first grader for all the tests they're going to have to take. And for those of you, you know, if you're a top 1% member, you get $100 off of this. And this is a wonderful thing to use because it just really feels different. It's just a different way to practice. And you can get another half hour of practice in by using this on top of everything else. So you can really give your child a lot of extra practice. And they love playing the game. And if you're ever unsure about where to find all these things, we do orientation calls pretty often, I think weekly. So you can always join an orientation call just to get a recap of where to find everything on the site. So look for where everything is. Just play with these tools and use them with your kids because that will just give them more practice and they're all designed to be fun. And finally, the last thing to do in this first step is that you should have a plan. And by plan at this point, what I really mean is how much time should you be spending working with test practice. This is really going to be guided by how much time you have before the test. You know, there are people who 2 years in advance are starting to work on things. There are people who will start a year in advance or 6 months in advance. And if that's the case for you, that's great because you can just do a little bit every day. It will not be overwhelming. If it's June and your test is in January, try to spend at least 15 to 20 minutes a day working on something that will help them get ready for the upcoming test because that alone will make an enormous difference. If the test is just around the corner, just a few weeks away or a week away, all you can do is familiarize your child with the types of questions they're going to see on the test. And so then, if that's the case, you want to just do a few practice questions from each subtest and make sure that they know how to handle each type of question that they're going to see. You can never cram material, you know, for a test for a very young child. They can't do that. So, you know, if it's coming up and you haven't prepared, all you can do is familiarize. Don't try to cram. And just the familiarity alone will be helpful when they go in to take the test. And really, this is kind of it for our very first step in the score system, where you start by learning what your child needs to know and be able to do. And if you haven't done some of these steps yet, I encourage you to do this over the next 2 weeks before we have our next call. So just investigate the tests and admissions process in your area, the ones that are going to apply to you. Look at each subtest and figure out what your child is going to need to know and be able to do. Explore the tools on the site that you can use to prepare your child and get started using them. And then if you have any questions, you can just reach out to us at help@testingmom.com and we will answer your questions. And on the next call, we're going to invite you to do a deep dive into the C of the score system, which is challenge your child through practice. And I hope you'll join us for that call as well.